the dead. You move on. Is that enough?
Yes, thank you very much.
Commander?
Yes.
And I just share things so that maybe everyone can benefit. Because of the last meeting, of course, I naturally, by all means, you should go and be with you. So I went to see Kissinger, which is interesting because on the day that he's going to speak, I called down there and the tickets have been sold out for 2 months and there's no way to go. So I'm talking to the guy and I led on, of course, that I'm with press and it's important sort of that I go. And, well, I talk to this other organization that's putting the whole thing on. That phone goes to another phone and explain that issue. And, of course, there's no tickets. As it turns out, the guy on the phone who's in that organization said, well, actually, I've got 2 tickets and I'm not going to go. So he puts in a will call for me. What was interesting was watching what to me was a very short man. I mean, he was a little guy.
Oh, he is, yes. In every way.
he didn't look big and overly powerful to me, but he has this booming voice box voice that you can't not hear. So he's a good one for them to put their propaganda. And you were right. He's a very nice man. And he had a good evening of playing with our children's minds. And he did say a lot of the answers. This is what should be done. This is how to approach it. Whether he really follows his own advice in behind the scenes, of course, we know better. I was looking for... He had actually at one point recognized me to ask a question, and then for some reason the girl wouldn't give me the microphone. Man, that's all right. But some of the students asked some very intelligent questions.
That's frightening, isn't it? The students are beginning to wake up. And they don't buy this garbage very much anymore.
And at one point one of the students asked, well, if you could do things over, what would you do different? Or those kind of thoughts. And of course Kissinger says, well, what you're really asking is, what mistakes did we make? And what will we admit to? So I thought was interesting. And his hand's on the podium, and he's more or less, his hand just kind of flipping up like this, you know, meaningless. Hey, he doesn't know. And I thought that was interesting. So I saw, of course, that he would leave a certain way and behind the curtains as he left. Maybe I taped that. Maybe I ought to write it for the paper. I don't know.
Well, these are the fun things that need sharing. And then the ability to look at what you know now and measure it against what these people tell you. And you can see right through them as if they are transparent pieces of paper.
So I... Actually, from the training I had with my gurus all those years, I knew where to go and stand so that I could have the last moment with Baba. And it always was right by the door of the car. Open the door for the master. So I go, and everybody else is over there, and people chasing this so-called great being. I go over, and I stand by the door. And I just wait. And so I'm the last person to physically talk or touch. And so I shook his hand and asked him a question as if it was meaningful. And I said... while he was listening last night, wherever you would kiss him. So I asked him, just shortly after Rockefeller's demise, and see if my memory serves me correctly, I'm not sure, you did the eulogy, was that 1972 or something like that? And I was just wondering, shortly after that you began to, and then he broke in, no, that's 1975. Shortly after that demise, your career more or less began to rise, and you became internationally prominent and such a great servant, like you are.
Do you know they made him shorter?
So I asked him, who do you give the most credit to for your career? And he kind of hesitated, Nelson Rockefeller. Another little boy walked up right beside me. He wanted to get a question in for the Asian paper of the university, and he wanted to ask Kissinger something. Really, Kissinger wanted to turn around and respond to his question. The power was inside the car, and I could see him bowing to a power where he turned around and something or someone told him, get in the car. And I could see him melt like the so-called powerful being who tells people what to do. And he was definitely told what to do. And it was interesting to see him meekly get back in his seat. But when I shook his hand, it was cold. It's the interesting stuff.
It pays to go experience. I always have told you to read everything you can. Experience everything you can. You know, when people start telling you, throw that in the trash because it's not worthy of your time, you better find out why they want you to throw it in the trash. And you'll be able to discern that for yourself. Now, some of the things are really too bad to even throw in the trash. And I'm a little bit amazed still at your species. You will have someone like Furman on a witness stand. Have you ever used the word nigger? No, never have. Big deal, the N-word. And yet there is rap song after rap song after rap song where they only will use like three words. Nigger, you're dead. And these are the Negroes or the Afro-Americans or whatever you're going to call the black people these days. How can you be Afro-American if you're American? Which are you? You see, when your own people cannot decide what in the world I am, how can you expect others in the society to recognize you? Versus what are they and who are they? So everything in your societal structure is made to be confusing. It's the age of Kali, the age of chaos. You don't know ever anymore who is speaking. Which Mr. Kissinger? Which Mr. Clinton? Are you seeing Billy Boy, Slick Willie, the one who runs the tunnels under the White House every night, along with Hillary, who also runs the tunnels? There is a network of tunnels under the White House connecting to so many buildings that it would boggle your mind. And every night the place is a crawl with people. This was the way that ones could get out and get somewhere else without having to have security agents and being followed and, you know, get away with things. They live like moles in the inner darkness. And when you live like moles in the secret dark places, it's going to show when you're in the light. You're going to be seen for what you are. So when we talk, well, isn't this dangerous? How do we get privacy? How do we get secrecy? Let us creep over here and change our phone number. And then we won't list it. How long do you think it takes them to find you? Why don't you live as if you want everyone to know about your goodness? And then, if they kill you, you go in peace because you will not have been living the lie. There needs to be privacy in business, lest someone steal your business. But you always must live your life as if it were a lamp that you wanted the entire world to see. That is your security. That is your security. And keep it bright. Keep it polished and bright. Anyone else have anything to say?
Don, I have one more question. Like I mentioned before, I'm very much into world peace and ending prejudice. And I just have a question about what the African-American black race is doing. My brothers always brought it to my attention, my youngest brother, Robert, about how they're always saying, oh, the white person is prejudiced, the white person is prejudiced, and they really rub it in our face. In my generation and who I am, I've never been prejudiced a day in my life, and I believe, you know, equality for all people. And, you know, I never was prejudiced until I keep saying it, and they say it, and, you know, every opportunity they get, that I just feel their anger is so intense. You know, you're prejudiced. And I'm really, you know, this has got to end. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it anymore. It's over. Prejudice is over. But I feel that you see it constantly, you know, black entertainment television, black this, black that, you know, they can do it. They can put that out there, black this, black that. But if we were to do that, oh, white this, white that, oh, you're prejudiced. And I almost feel like this power play of intimidation to the white people or to people in general. And I want it to stop, and I just want to know if this is going to keep continuing on until they absolutely have, you know, a lot of power, or is this something that is meant to be to balance out and make equality happen?
No, it's going to get worse because it's intended to cause mankind to turn against each other. And there is nothing different with this racist dialogue from anti-Semitic. These are conjured terms used to inflame and incite. And it's something that has been perpetrated off on the black man, that you have been so mistreated. And now it's your turn to fight back. All the while, they're being put down farther and farther and farther and farther into a welfare system that can finally withdraw itself, and then truly you have carnage. These are ways of manipulating the minds of men. This is pure mind control at its worst. It's the manipulation of race against race. It is intended, it is fully intended, and it is to implement. Note what the blacks do, the Koreans do, and I shouldn't say just the Koreans, but I think back about the riots. The Asians look at it. Look at the Hispanics. And you just heard Jesse speak out. Well, let me tell you something that maybe should scare the living daylights out of you. Because black man, Farrakhan, wants to be brother with Chief Sitting Bull. No, he doesn't. And no, Sitting Bull doesn't want any part of him. Why? Because many, many years ago, not only were the Indians here being dispossessed, but the white eyes, the white people, came. These Khazarian, I won't finish the statement I almost started to make, but we're going all the way back historically to Freemasonry, Illuminati, Committee of 300, Hierarchy, the Club of Rome. You see, it was never different over here. You felt you had a free, new nation under God. No, you stole that from the Indians. How dare you come over and do this? But where the Indians are unforgiving, they will put up with, and they will call the black man brother. But there is hatred underlying there. And how could this be to put upon people? Because in behalf of the white man, black man, slave, took up guns and killed the Indians. And the Indians don't forget. They may even forgive. They do not forget. So when it appears that, well, we'll just shove all these minorities over here into a wad because they're going to love each other. No, they don't love each other. You've forgotten how to love each other. And when you say, well, I'm not bigoted, I'm not prejudiced, you mean it. And yet, to be non-prejudiced does not mean to be colorblind. To mean and be non-prejudiced is to know enough of the created of God to recognize the color and have equality and compassion and love. The other, when we say, oh, I'm just totally colorblind, is a total lie. Why lie? Why lie to self? And yet I hear what you're saying. I love you. I care not what color you are, what race you are. That's a wonderful attitude. Why take it further and make it into a lie? Blessed be the differences, because blessed be to all of you, you haven't the vaguest idea about what God is or what color. God is light. And you can't get a grasp of that. And what you are seeing in your non-prejudice moments, in this color blindedness, is the blindedness of light. When you meet yourself. Because the color of your skin makes no difference. You are a manifest illusion of coalesced cells and elements, tones, frequencies. And God gives you life from all of this. And the moment that life energy is removed, the body starts to decay instantly. The fingernails may grow a little bit. The hair may grow a fraction. But the cellular structure of that manifest DNA, RNA entity begins to again disintegrate into its component parts. It no longer has the life force. And these are the things we need to cover. You see, I don't like covering lawsuits. On the other hand, we don't have a typical group here. So ones who would come and share with us and visit like Catherine has are kind of stuck with us because we are what we are. And we have a mission, just as she might have. And like anyone else who comes to visit, she is a guest until she considers herself not a guest. Because we don't have anything else. And yet there's plenty to be done by all. And if one must cling to a religious idea and kill over a religious idea that is just as silly as killing someone because his skin is brown and yours is pink, because there are very, very few white people. And they're called albinos, by the way. There are no black people. There are beautiful, beautiful varying shades of bronze to brown. There are no black people. There are no white people. And there are no little green Martians. And anyone making it out into the universal reaches of your galaxy and on into the dimensional changes into higher knowing are not going to feed upon war. And they're going to be your teachers and guides, and they're not going to teach you war. That is not of God. God is creator. And therefore, that means that physical man is a destroyer, because you can only utilize what God has created if you are of that mode of intent. You can only manipulate and power broker and handle that which is. That which has been manufactured and manifest. If you are of God, you can create. And that allows you the universal elements. If you ever realize your potential. It only takes one. And it goes beyond a Baba who will manifest a ring or a trinket. It's a game. But he knows he can do it. So he does it. But he knows it's a trinket or a thing. Another physical something produced into a physical environment. But he has done it with his knowingness in his connection with God. Creator. And until you recognize you not only can, but do use it, you're not living up to your level for which you were produced or created. And it's a cycle. It's a cycle. And you can get better and better and better, or you can get worse and worse and worse, and it will be a spiral in either direction. And until you are ready to reverse that spiral of your own direction, you're going to continue it. Because only you can make that choice. God does not save you. If you want saved, you save yourself. God will always provide what you need to do that. Because God loves you in every sense of the word. God is omnipresent, and he loves you without measure. You are his creation. You are one with him. But he will allow you to experience, because you are placed here in a free will environment for your growth. And we always must see what we do, what choices we make. Everything is a choice. We can choose to be brave. Well, that could be a silly choice if you're going to be brave over something that has no value. You have just made an idiot of yourself. So every breath is a choice. Breath is that which maintains life. Stop breathing, you stop your oxygen flow, you stop your heart, and the body dies. You've just killed it by choice. And when the opportunity is again available, you take up residency once again in a manifest, acceptable form. You will not come back into a lower species. Sorry about that. If you prefer to be a dog, I'm sorry about it. But if you have made it to a human being, your choice is not going to be to come back as a dog, because you will only come back to serve the needs of your soul. And there is always a mission to be accomplished. And that's what we're here for. And we're going to accomplish it. I don't know how many we will be, but we are going to get it done. And we certainly welcome anyone. And everyone is absolutely welcome to their opinion. But I'm not going to give you some religious fundamentalism. There's only one fundamental truth, and that is God and you. Anyone else dare ask me anything? This is a subject, my dear, I could go for months.
Well, Commander, a long time ago you made a statement. You said something like, call me Dad, and I thought about it, and I called you Dad, and you said something like, well, you picked a tough dad, and I believe I really have. And I guess the purpose of just my even blurting out here is just then if I may approach you with the respected father ancient that you are in my life for some, maybe a bit of personal guidance in my choices at this time in my life regarding this law.
I'll be happy to manipulate it for you. I'll ask Mom. Of course. Of course. That's what we're here for. This is what your guides are here for. This is what a guide is. This is what a teacher is. And you have to be the guides to those who don't know. You just happen to be in one express form. But you have been in, quote, the invisible expression. And you're no longer troubled by that. You want to discuss it. And you want some reassurance and some confirmation about your thought processes. Because you can't quite remember. It's not yet quite the time for open and all remembering. But as the ancients will tell you, as the oral tradition will tell you, you are now at the time of remembering. It's all been done. It's all finished. You all know how it ends if you could just remember. This is the age of remembering. And with remembering comes knowing. And with knowing comes absolute and total need for responsibility of self. Once you know, you can no longer dump it off on anybody else. You can ask for guidance, but you know, in your own responsible self, you must grow to be the teacher. And oh yes, you can. Oh yes, you can. You're already there. All you have to do is open your heart and know it. And yet that dumps a big responsibility out there. How do I mold this child? You mold this child with truth, honor, and respect. Because 9 times out of 10, that child remembers more than you do. The dead, you move on. Is that enough?
Yes, thank you very much.
Commander?
Yes.
And I just share things so that maybe everyone can benefit. Because the last meeting, of course, I naturally... By all means, you should go and be with you. So I went to see Kissinger, which is interesting because on the day that he's going to speak, I called down there, and the tickets have been sold out for 2 months, and there's no way to go. So I'm talking to the guy, and I led on, of course, that I'm with press, and it's important sort of that I go, and, well, I talk to this other organization that's putting the whole thing on. That phone goes to another phone and explain that issue, and, of course, as it does, there's no tickets. As it turns out, the guy on the phone who's in that organization said, well, actually, I've got 2 tickets, and I'm not going to go. So he puts in a will call for me. What was interesting was watching what, to me, was a very short man. I mean, he was a little guy.
Oh, he is, yes. In every way.
he didn't look big and overly powerful to me, but he has this booming voice box voice. It. You can't not hear. So he's a good one for them to put their propaganda. And you were right. He's a very nice man. And he had a good evening of playing with our children's minds. And he did say a lot of the answers. This is what should be done. This is how to approach it. Whether he really follows his own advice in behind the scenes, of course, we know better. I was looking for, he had actually at one point recognized me to ask a question, and then for some reason the girl wouldn't give me the microphone. Man, that's all right, but some of the students asked some very intelligent questions.
That's frightening, isn't it? The students are beginning to wake up, and they don't buy this garbage very much anymore.
And at one point, one of the students asked, well, if you could do things over, what would you do different? Or those kind of thoughts. And of course, Kissinger says, well, what you're really asking is, what mistakes did we make? And what will we admit to? So I thought was interesting. And his hand's on the podium, and he's more or less, his hand just kind of flipping up like this, you know, meaningless. Hey, he doesn't know. Man, I thought that was interesting. So I saw, of course, that he would leave a certain way and behind the curtains as he left. Maybe I taped that. Maybe I ought to write it for the paper. I don't know.
Well, these are the fun things that need sharing. And then the ability to look at what you know now and measure it against what these people tell you. And you can see right through them as if they are transparent pieces of paper.
So I... Actually, from the training I had with my gurus all those years, I knew where to go and stand so that I could have the last moment with Baba. And it always was right by the door of the car. Open the door for the master. So I go, and everybody else is over there, and people chasing this so-called great being. I go over, and I stand by the door. And I just wait. And so I'm the last person to physically talk or touch. And so I shook his hand and asked him a question as if it was meaningful. And I said... while he was listening last night, wherever you would kiss him. So I asked him, just shortly after Rockefeller's demise, and see if my memory serves me correctly, I'm not sure, you did the eulogy, was that 1972 or something like that? And I was just wondering, shortly after that you began to, and then he broke in, that was 1975. Shortly after that demise, your career more or less began to rise, and you became internationally prominent and such a great servant like you are.
Do you know they made him shorter?
So I asked him, who do you give the most credit to for your career? And he kind of hesitated. Nelson Rockefeller. Another little boy walked up right beside me. He wanted to get a question in for the Asian paper of the university, and he wanted to ask Kissinger something. Really, Kissinger wanted to turn around and respond to his question. The power was inside the car, and I could see him bowing to a power where he turned around and something or someone told him to get in the car, and I could see him melt like the so-called powerful being who tells people what to do. And he was definitely told what to do, and it was interesting to see him meekly get back in his seat. But when I shook his hand, it was cold. It was the interesting stuff.
It pays to go experience. I always have told you to read everything you can, experience everything you can. You know, when people start telling you, throw that in the trash because it's not worthy of your time, you better find out why they want you to throw it in the trash. And you'll be able to discern that for yourself. Now, some of the things are really too bad to even throw in the trash. And I'm a little bit amazed still at your species. You will have someone like Furman on a witness stand. Have you ever used the word nigger? No, never have. Big deal, the N-word. And yet there is rap song after rap song after rap song where they only will use like three words. Nigger, you're dead. And these are the Negroes, or the Afro-Americans, or whatever you're going to call the black people these days. How can you be Afro-American if you're American? Which are you? You see, when your own people cannot decide what in the world I am, how can you expect others in the society to recognize you? Versus what are they and who are they? So everything in your societal structure is made to be confusing. It's the age of Kali, the age of chaos. You don't know ever anymore who is speaking. Which Mr. Kissinger? Which Mr. Clinton? Are you seeing Billy Boy? Slick Willie, The one who runs the tunnels under the White House every night? Along with Hillary, who also runs the tunnels? There is a network of tunnels under the White House connecting to so many buildings that it would boggle your mind. And every night the place is a crawl with people. This was the way that ones could get out and get somewhere else without having to have security agents and being followed and, you know, get away with things. They live like moles in the inner darkness. And when you live like moles in the secret dark places, it's going to show when you're in the light. You're going to be seen for what you are. So when we talk, well, isn't this dangerous? How do we get privacy? How do we get secrecy? Let us creep over here and change our phone number. And then we won't list it. How long do you think it takes them to find you? Why don't you live as if you want everyone to know about your goodness? And then, if they kill you, you go in peace because you will not have been living the lie. There needs to be privacy in business, lest someone steal your business. But you always must live your life as if it were a lamp that you wanted the entire world to see. That is your security. That is your security. And keep it bright. Keep it polished and bright. Anyone else have anything to say?
Don, I have one more question. Like I mentioned before, I'm very much into world peace and ending prejudice. And I just have a question about what the African-American black race is doing. My brother's always brought it to my attention, my youngest brother, Robert, about how they're always saying, oh, the white person is prejudiced, the white person is prejudiced, and they really rub it in our face. In my generation and who I am, I've never been prejudiced a day in my life, and I believe, you know, equality for all people. And, you know, I never was prejudiced until they keep saying it, and they say it, and, you know, every opportunity they get, I just feel their anger is so intense. You know, you're prejudiced. And I'm really, you know, this has got to end. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it anymore. It's over. Prejudice is over. But I feel that you see it constantly, you know, black entertainment television, black this, black that, you know, they can do it. They can put that out there, black this, black that. But if we were to do that, oh, white this, white that, oh, you're prejudiced. And I almost feel like this power play of intimidation to the white people or to people in general. And I want it to stop, and I just want to know if this is going to keep continuing on until they absolutely have, you know, a lot of power, or is this something that is meant to be to balance out and make equality happen?
No, it's going to get worse because it's intended to cause mankind to turn against each other. And there is nothing different with this racist dialogue from anti-Semitic. These are conjured terms used to inflame and incite. And it's something that has been perpetrated off on the black man that you have been so mistreated. And now it's your turn to fight back. All the while, they are being put down farther and farther and farther and farther into a welfare system that can finally withdraw itself, and then truly you have carnage. These are ways of manipulating the minds of men. This is pure mind control at its worst. It's the manipulation of race against race. It is intended, it is fully intended, and it is to implement. Note what the blacks do, the Koreans do, and I shouldn't say just the Koreans, but I think back about the riots. The Asians. Look at it. Look at the Hispanics. And you just heard Jesse speak out. Well, let me tell you something that maybe should scare the living daylights out of you. Because black man, Farrakhan, wants to be brother with Chief Sitting Bull. No, he doesn't. And no, Sitting Bull doesn't want any part of him. Why? Because many, many years ago, not only were the Indians here being dispossessed, but the white eyes, the white people, came. These Khazarian... I won't finish the statement I almost started to make, but we're going all the way back historically to Freemasonry, Illuminati, Committee of 300, Hierarchy, the Club of Rome. You see, it was never different over here. You felt you had a free, new nation under God. No, you stole that from the Indians. How dare you come over and do this? But where the Indians are unforgiving, they will put up with, and they will call the black man brother. But there is hatred underlying there. And how could this be to put upon people? Because in behalf of the white man, black man, slave, took up guns and killed the Indians. And the Indians don't forget. They may even forgive. They do not forget. So when it appears that, well, we'll just shove all these minorities over here into a wad because they're going to love each other. No, they don't love each other. You've forgotten how to love each other. And when you say, well, I'm not bigoted. I'm not prejudiced. You mean it. And yet, to be non-prejudiced does not mean to be colorblind. To mean and be non-prejudiced is to know enough of the created of God to recognize the color and have equality and compassion and love. The other, when we say, oh, I'm just totally colorblind, is a total lie. Why lie? Why lie to self? And yet I hear what you're saying. I love you. I care not what color you are, what race you are. That's a wonderful attitude. Why take it further and make it into a lie? Blessed be the differences, because blessed be to all of you, you haven't the vaguest idea about what God is or what color. God is light, and you can't get a grasp of that. And what you are seeing in your non-prejudice moments, in this color blindedness, is the blindedness of light. When you meet yourself, because the color of your skin makes no difference. You are a manifest illusion of coalesced cells and elements, tones, frequencies. And God gives you life from all of this. And the moment that life energy is removed, the body starts to decay instantly. The fingernails may grow a little bit. The hair may grow a fraction, but the cellular structure of that manifest DNA, RNA entity begins to again disintegrate into its component parts. It no longer has the life force. And these are the things we need to cover. You see, I don't like covering lawsuits. On the other hand, we don't have a typical group here. So ones who would come and share with us and visit like Catherine has are kind of stuck with us because we are what we are. And we have a mission, just as she might have. And like anyone else who comes to visit, she is a guest until she considers herself not a guest. Because we don't have anything else. And yet there's plenty to be done by all. And if one must cling to a religious idea and kill over a religious idea that is just as silly as killing someone because his skin is brown and yours is pink, because there are very, very few white people, and they're called albinos, by the way. There are no black people. There are beautiful, beautiful, varying shades of bronze to brown. There are no black people. There are no white people. And there are no little green Martians. And anyone making it out into the universal reaches of your galaxy and on into the dimensional changes, into higher knowing, are not going to feed upon war. And they're going to be your teachers and guides, and they're not going to teach you war. That is not of God. God is creator. And therefore, that means that physical man is a destroyer. Because you can only utilize what God has created if you are of that mode of intent. You can only manipulate and power broker and handle that which is. That which has been manufactured and manifest. If you are of God, you can create. And that allows you the universal elements. If you ever realize your potential, it only takes one. And it goes beyond a Baba who will manifest a ring or a trinket. It's a game. But he knows he can do it. So he does it. But he knows it's a trinket or a thing. Another physical something produced into a physical environment. But he has done it with his knowingness in his connection with God. Creator. And until you recognize you not only can, but do use it, you're not living up to your level for which you were produced or created. And it's a cycle. It's a cycle. And you can get better and better and better, or you can get worse and worse and worse, and it will be a spiral in either direction. And until you are ready to reverse that spiral of your own direction, you're going to continue it. Because only you can make that choice. God does not save you. If you want saved, you save yourself. God will always provide what you need to do that. Because God loves you in every sense of the word. God is omnipresent. And he loves you without measure. You are his creation. You are one with him. But he will allow you to experience, because you are placed here in a free will environment for your growth. And we always must see what we do, what choices we make. Everything is a choice. We can choose to be brave. Well, that could be a silly choice if you're going to be brave over something that has no value. You have just made an idiot of yourself. So every breath is a choice. Breath is that which maintains life. Stop breathing, you stop your oxygen flow, you stop your heart, and the body dies. You've just killed it by choice. And when the opportunity is again available, you take up residency once again in a manifest, acceptable form. You will not come back into a lower species. Sorry about that. If you prefer to be a dog, I'm sorry about it. But if you have made it to a human being, your choice is not going to be to come back as a dog, because you will only come back to serve the needs of your soul. And there is always a mission to be accomplished. And that's what we're here for. And we're going to accomplish it. I don't know how many we will be, but we are going to get it done. And we certainly welcome anyone. And everyone is absolutely welcome to their opinion. But I'm not going to give you some religious fundamentalism. There's only one fundamental truth, and that is God and you. Anyone else dare ask me anything? This is a subject, my dear, I could go for months.
Well, Commander, a long time ago you made a statement. You said something like, call me Dad, and I thought about it, and I called you Dad, and you said something like, well, you picked a tough dad, and I believe I really have. And I guess the purpose of just my even blurting out here is just, and if I may approach you with the respected father, ancient, that you are in my life, for some, maybe a bit of personal guidance in my choices at this time in my life regarding this life.
I'll be happy to manipulate it for you. I'll ask Mom.